Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Dan Wiederer.
I mean, the dude is a tone setter, and that's undeniable. And I don't even think Ryan Poles and anyone in that front office would deny that.
On-air contributor for 670 The Score.
I'm really excited to be part of the family. I can't wait to do it all year.
Bears beat reporter and Enterprise writer.
Flat-footed is what happens here at Hell's Hall way too often.
Co-host of the Take the North podcast.
We're going to take the North and never give it back.
With our own David Hall.
David, that's a lengthy description on the high-powered microscope that Matt Eberflus uses to judge his football team on a daily basis. And I think this is more than just a bunch of letters.
Dan Wiederer with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Bear down. Let's go.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to The Score. Dan Wiederer joins us now on the Signature Bank Score Hotline. Signature Bank, making commercial banking personal. Hey, Dan, how are you?
I'm doing good, fellas. How are you guys this morning?
Good.
You know, we were talking about the Bears. We know Aaron Rodgers now is going to play. At least he claimed he was on the whatever podcast he does on a weekly basis with the former punter who wears tank tops. but we don't know about Justin Fields, and we heard a caller say, hey, was Rodgers calling out Fields? Was he saying that's what we do, meaning you should do it? And is there going to be like a square off on midfield before the game?
God, I hope so, right? Like, this is what we want. We want Bears-Packers theater, right? We want to have the maximum possible entertainment value on Sunday, and that would be Aaron Rodgers versus Justin Fields. I thought it was funny. Rodgers said that his scans came back good, and my first thought was his scans were watching the Mike White-led Jets pick apart the Bears' secondary and say, yeah, I feel good for another week. Let me go out and sling it at Soldier Field and see if I can get one performance that really makes everybody feel good about my performance in Green Bay. With Fields, like, today's going to be an important day. We're going to see if he's able to clear the limited stage of practice. If not, all of a sudden you start trending down that direction of having to prepare two quarterbacks at once and get Trevor Siemian ready to play again, assuming that his oblique came through okay the other day, because he was obviously in some discomfort during and after that game. And so we're right back in the mix here with the quarterback drama, and we'll see which direction it heads today.
By the same token, Dan, as much as Rodgers may relish playing against that Bears defense, how are the Bears viewing the Packer challenge, if you will, or invitation and opportunity? Because this is a defense that has been very disappointing in Green Bay, and also one that just gave up 363 rushing yards. If you're the Bears, yes, you're worried about your quarterback, but also you've got to be viewing this as a chance to run the ball, and run the ball some more.
There's no question about it that there's things on that video from Sunday that say, oh boy, this is an opportunity and an open door to run right through. When you see Jalen Hurts go over 100 yards rushing in the first half, and you know what you have in your quarterback in your huddle, you say, man, Justin, what can we do? You know, what kind of treatment can we get you this week that'll help you be on the field Sunday against the Packers? Because there is an opportunity here to continue kind of that offensive uptick. And that's, you know, one of the big parts of this finishing stretch for the Bears is just understanding that while the win-loss record isn't that meaningful, and the actual results of these games may not go down as meaningful in the big picture, that there's a lot to squeeze out of these if you have the right approach to them. And they just have to make sure they have that right approach, particularly this week when you have a bye right behind this. And I'm sure guys are already looking into getting some of that rest in week 14. You just got to make sure that you take every opportunity to make progress.
Dan, we know that that Eddie Jackson, Big Z, said he brought his teammates over on Thanksgiving, yeah, and did a nice feast for everybody that didn't have anywhere else to go. And then Jalen Johnson on The Score said that he does that every Thursday. He brings guys over. They watch Thursday Night Football, and he supplies food for everyone. When you lose a guy like that, I would imagine if anyone fed me, they'd be a leader in my world. Is it possible that losing Eddie Jackson and losing Darnell Mooney, you're losing more than just the play on the field, but leadership in the locker room?
Yeah, Molly, there's no question about it. And that's why Sunday was so dispiriting, right? It wasn't just getting your doors blown off by the Jets, who were shorthanded themselves. It was losing two guys that are everyday tone setters, right? And just guys that bring up the energy in the building. And I can't overstate the benefits of juice, right? And when you have guys that, particularly in a season like this, that bring the juice to practice, that bring the juice to the meetings, that get the mood to a level where you feel like you've got some enthusiasm and energy and are ready to go to work, it's invaluable. And so they're going to miss that with Eddie. They're going to miss that with Darnell. The scary part is how long are they going to miss that, right? We've got a ways to go before we know when those guys are going to be ready to be back on the field practicing again, right? And so now if you not only lose that for the final five games of this season, but then you lose some of that for OTAs, you lose some of that for minicamp, now, you're just behind. And the Bears are already too far behind. And then the other part of that is just making sure those guys return to a state of health where they can be as productive as they've been for this team. And that's no given either.
So, Dan, we talked about this on the Take the North podcast, and I thought it was interesting to hear DeAndre Houston Carson speak of playing for pride and the pride that you still rely upon, or you look within and you try to play for pride when everything else looks like, well, they're 3-9, and boy, you look at the challenge and the scoreboard and all of that. How long does that last? And in the NFL today, how sustainable is that when we talk about sustainability?
So there's two parts to this for me. And first of all, DeAndre Houston Carson and Cole Kmet on Monday used that word pride. And I think it's an important one here for this finishing stretch, because every guy has to figure out what their level of pride is and what they want to do to make sure that this isn't just a wayward season, that you just give yourself a free pass for not bringing it every day. And DeAndre Houston Carson is a perfect model of this, because, right, he entered the league as a day three guy who was just simply trying to figure out a way to make the team, right? And he knew early on from his college career that special teams was going to be the way to do it. And so he's just figured out a way as a professional to develop a daily focus, right? And I appreciated his candor on Monday and saying, look, there are days this feels like a job to me. And it's a grind, and you wake up and your body hurts and nobody cares, and you still got to go to work and try to give everything you have to make sure that you're getting the most out of yourself. And so you need a locker room full of those guys. The Bears are confident they have that. They're confident that they have this character in that locker room that will allow them to not just become, one dysfunctional or two disinterested. And so they'll just go through these last 5 weeks with that approach. The other part of this is, I remember in 2017, and maybe this pertains more to Justin or other guys on the offense, but I remember the Bears got their doors blown off in Philly to end November. And it was the same type of situation where Mitch was in a situation where everything was going downhill. He knew he was playing with supporting cast and his offensive line and receiving core that was going to be completely overhauled in the offseason. And I remember Mark Sanchez saying to me, like, look, these next 5 weeks are critical for him to learn what the grind of the NFL is, right? When the results don't matter and the games don't have that juice to them, what are you able to do in each week and each day and each practice and each meeting to get the most out of yourself? This is a challenge now to Justin and those other young players to make sure that this isn't just a lost opportunity, that you go in and you squeeze the most out of each one of these days.
This segment with Dan Wiederer is brought to you by Old National Bank, where relationships and results matter. Get old. Dan, we've been talking a little bit about the offensive line as well, and certainly seeing not one but two right tackles leave the game, and Michael Schofield being the guy that ended up finishing it at right tackle, makes you wonder how they approach these injuries. How bad are they? Are these guys out? I mean, we're all kind of holding our breath, waiting to see who's in and who's out of this game and how large the injury report is. But what would they do at right tackle? You have any theories or any ideas?
Well, look, at some point, like, Alex Leatherwood is a guy you're paying millions of dollars to try out. And I understand that the Bears coaches feel like they can learn a lot in practice settings, but wouldn't you want to get that guy on a field and just figure out whether there's anything there for the future? And so, like, it's going to be really interesting this week to see where he's at. Obviously you want to know where Reef is at and Larry Borum, I don't know. It's like this season for him has not been promising. Right. And you say, boy, like, do we have to figure out some other options there? And if we have to figure out other options there, let's see what we've got in house. And so they've got to sort through that stuff this week, because there's not a lot of depth, beyond that. There's not a lot on the practice squad that you can go squeeze. And so they're going to have to go there. They're going to have to go there at safety too, because it wasn't just Eddie Jackson that got hurt the other day. Brisker was still in concussion protocol. Dane Cruikshank got hurt. They signed Adrian Colbert to the practice squad yesterday. He's a guy that's in his sixth year on his 10th team, right? Like, so this is the state of the season we're in right now, where you've got a guy joining his 10th team to be a practice squad fill-in in case your undrafted rookie AJ Thomas out of Western Michigan isn't able to give you what you want. I mean, this is where we're at, right? And so, boy, buckle in.
So in that context, Dan, here we are. It's November 30th. We're about to enter December, and before you know it, it will be the end of the season. There'll be closing things up and cleaning out the locker room after the Vikings game. Could we get to that point, or what do you think we'll feel like about Matt Eberflus, the game day coach? We talked about this. We could get to the end of the season and still not know exactly what you have in terms of Matt Eberflus, the tactician, or the Sunday coach, or the guy that makes a difference against a certain opponent. We know he may be able to creating a culture, but how real is that possibility?
Well, first of all, you gave me forward-thinking visions to locker cleanout day and the size of the bourbon on the rocks that I'm going to pour when I walk out of that locker room for the last time in 2022. I got to make sure I stay immersed in the grind here, because you're giving me visions of the exhale. I don't know how much we've learned about Matt Eberflus as a coach to this point, right? I think we all were very encouraged by the buy-in he got in the summer and early fall, which is usually something that new coaches are able to get. Mark Trestman had it, John Fox had it, Matt Nagy had it. And so now it's a test for Matt Eberflus to figure out where he needs to grow, where his staff needs to grow, where he can be better in getting results, right? Like, I think that, his principle has been their foundation, and he talked about it again on Monday as being the most important thing that they've established within the season. But when you need such a surplus of talent for the Hits principle to actually produce results, you kind of shrug and you say, well, how much is this principle that's been talked about on an everyday basis really worth to you if you don't have players, right? And so then it comes back to, can the front office go get you the number of players that you need for some of your philosophies to work? And so I don't know. I don't know how you guys feel. I'm kind of at an incomplete in my grade for Matt Eberflus, because I don't know what his biggest strengths and biggest weaknesses are at this point.
Well, it's funny. We were talking about Matt Nagy last year. They were in the midst of a 5-game losing streak. They had lost 6 the year before, and he said something along the lines of, "It's nobody's fault, but it's everybody's," or something like that.
I remember that.
But to me, I don't know that applies to this losing streak, right? I mean, they're in the midst. They've lost whatever it is, 5 in a row. Maybe they're going to lose out. Maybe they're going to end up with more losses than in team history, 14 losses. That is on the table. And frankly, it'll be hard to avoid that if they keep losing players. But I would have to say that it is one man's fault, that it was Ryan Poles by design losing. They did not come in with a competitive talent roster. And then as you inevitably lose people, You're looking on the street trying to find guys that might have to come in and play here. So it is hard not to say that maybe it's one man's fault. And I don't mean that as an insult. I just mean this is designed losing now.
Well, right. And the concern is that some of the things that you did do to try to make sure that your future would be brighter, even in the midst of a teardown, aren't working out. Like your day two wide receiver, Velus Jones, can't give you anything as a punt returner. He can't give you anything as a receiver. And now you say, boy, did we just waste a third round pick, and now we've got to go back in 2023 and 2024 and try to fill that void that we were supposed to have filled. And there's a number of those throughout the roster. I think all of us would agree that it's going to be a really heavy lift for Ryan Poles in 2023. Free agency in the draft, undrafted free agency after the draft. He's got to go and fill, you know, 30 plus holes. And that's not an easy thing to do. I know they've got a lot of salary cap room and they should be picking high. And if they are able to trade a top three pick away and accumulate more capital, they'll have things to work with. But man, like, I think there's a lot of people out there that feel like the rebuild of this is like a six-year-old Lego project, right? You just get out the book and you go step by step and bingo, you know, within 30 minutes, you've got a refinished product. And it's just, you guys know, it's not that way in the NFL. It's really, really hard to rebuild. And I think there's just sort of this assumption that just because you tore it down, it's going to get rebuilt. And we know better, especially here in Chicago.
I think that's part of what has bothered me about this season, is that we were talking to Grody about this, in that we understand and can appreciate, from having covered the Bears as long as we all have, how difficult it is to get the quarterback right. But right now it's like that came into the, you came into the season, is that the most pressing question, traditionally, kind of just like without saying. And it was treated, though, almost as if, I think, as it was the only question. And now so many others exist. I don't know what to expect in 2023, but I have my doubts just based on the past year of decisions that I think that might be early to expect real change.
I'm 100% with you, and I've been saying that for the last couple months here, that you know, you're capable of having more than one conversation at one time. And while Justin's emergence has been incredibly exciting, it's been incredibly energizing, there's so much more to being a championship level football team. And I think Justin's emergence ultimately for a big chunk of his fan base is going to raise expectations for 2023 to a level that may not be reachable practically with what you have on the rest of the roster. Right. And so now if people are having dreams of 11 and 12 wins in 2023 and you go 7-10 next year, now what does that do to the vibe in the city? And what does that do to the vibe in the building, and where does it all go from there? And so, yeah, I mean, it's complicated. And I've heard you guys talk about this, that there's no NFL model that says, okay, here's an example of a team that just absolutely blew everything up, and then with the snap of a fingers and the wave of a magic wand was in the Super Bowl, right? Like, it doesn't happen in this league. It's a long, grueling process. And I just hope that the people inside the building and certainly outside the building have their expectations calibrated properly to know how hard this is.
It's very difficult. And I think that the difference in this sport than every other sport is obviously injuries. And, you know, when we talked about, to open the conversation, the idea that you just put a couple guys on injured reserve and you don't know where this winds up with them. We don't know. I mean, ideally, you compartmentalize injuries, they happen, you get healed, you have surgery, you get healed, and then you close out a season and then you're on to the next one. That's not going to happen here. That's not going to happen with Mooney for sure, and probably not Eddie Jackson.
Yeah, so, I mean, let's talk about the receiving corps for a second. Now Justin Fields' top target is a guy who got in the building like 4 weeks ago, right? And so now you've got to accelerate that chemistry with Chase Claypool. Yeah. By the way, who is now costing you the 33rd pick in the 2023 draft as of this moment, right?
And only 31 players taken in the first round. I keep reminding people of this because the Miami lost their pick. So, I mean, that's a really high pick, even higher than it appears at 33.
Right. And so, like you've got to figure out what you've got in this guy now, right? And it's not easy. And Claypool obviously had a couple catches on Sunday that showed you what happens when you give them opportunities to catch 50-50 balls. And one of them going across the middle was a gain of 20 plus. And you want to see that. You want to see if you're going to trade away the assets that they traded away to get them. You want to see that chemistry with the QB1 accelerate as fast as possible. So that's something to watch Sunday. It's something to watch after the bye week and through the holidays. And so they've got a lot to figure out here. It is a very, very steep climb. And as we learned Sunday in New York, that steep climb comes with rock slides sometimes that knock you backward 5 or 6 steps from where you thought you were.
All right, Dan, before we let you go, I think the big question we have to leave you with is the most important one we haven't asked. What kind of practice week has Nathan Peterman had?
Oh, God.
This week or next week?
This week. I mean, he could be the starting quarterback by noon on Sunday.
You know, the way things went this last Sunday, I think Mully could be the starting quarterback by Sunday at noon. You know, we make an announcement 90 minutes before kickoff. You know, we're preparing Mike to get out there and take some snaps, and then we'll get the call that it's Peterman. We'll watch Nathan Peterman practice today for 15 minutes, 15 minutes tomorrow. I'll report back to you at some point on how he looks. You don't want Rodgers versus Peterman at Soldier Field. I don't think anyone in this fan base would be signing up for what that torture could be.
You can't make a pick until you know what the injury report looks like. But which way are you leaning at this point, Dan?
Yeah, if Aaron's going to play against this secondary, with what I've known in my 10 years covering the beat and 20 plus before that watching this rivalry, you go Packers. You go Packers until further notice. And so we'll see which direction. I certainly would like to see Justin play, though, because it would be beneficial for everybody, particularly those of us who like our Sundays to be a little bit entertaining.
There you go. Great stuff, Dan. Thank you, buddy.
Thanks, Dan.
All right, fellas. Have a good one.
See, those of us that like to be entertained do want to see the quarterback play.
Like that he says that without apology or explanation. He wants to see Justin Fields play because there is value not only in making it more entertaining, but there's value in having him play provided that he's safe.
Yes, if he's healthy, he should play. 312-644-6767, that is the telephone number. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
And I think quarterbacks should play unless they're dying. Like, literally, unless you're about to die, you should play.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 to the Score. Oh, boy. Always something different.
So that was Trent Dilfer.
Yeah, that was Trent Dilfer talking about. Yeah.
Whether they should play or not. And yeah. That mentality. And Aaron Rodgers talking about playing through pain and injury in the context of being a quarterback on an NFL team. By the way, Trent Dilfer, he said that on the afternoon show on Monday, I believe it was. And he's in the news, not because of being on the afternoon show, but he's in the news because he's about to make the transition from Tennessee high school football coach to UAB, Alabama, Birmingham. head football coach. There's a report on ESPN that the former Ravens quarterback, Super Bowl winning quarterback, and contributor to 670 The Score, is going to make that jump. The Jeff Saturday jump of college football coaching.
I've been to UAB. Have you ever been there?
Yeah, no. I've been to Birmingham, but not UAB, the campus, no.
Well, you went to the Sox in Birmingham? Where'd you go?
Long story, but I was there doing a Super Bowl story on T.O.
Oh.
When he was with the Eagles, and he's from a town down in Alabama, and I spent a day and a half or so going through Birmingham.
Wow.
Yeah.
I covered a Bulls preseason game there. Only time I've ever been to Birmingham. It was actually a pretty good town.
Yeah, I have no complaints about Birmingham. I had a good experience.
I don't know why you're bad-mouthing.
I'm not. I enjoyed myself. It was a good story. It was fascinating to do that before that Super Bowl. And
what happens to Dilfer's career criticizing Justin Fields? Or not criticizing, or valuing?
Praising Justin Fields, essentially. I don't know. Is he
still going to be on the afternoon show as a football coach?
As UAB's head coach?
Would he have time to break down the plays of...
I mean, they've only Justin been playing Fields. Division I football for like 30 years down there. So it's not like this is some juggernaut of a...
30 years is a long time to be playing Division I football.
Well, like
Jordan
Michigan,
Howard.
Michigan's been
Jordan
playing
Howard.
For
Did you like Jordan
years.
Howard? You like Jordan Howard? Was he a good running back for the Bears? He played at UAB. I don't like your bias against mid-majors.
Can't you just get like whatever Alabama doesn't pick up? Can't you just grab those guys and put together a decent football team? Why are you being
It's a leap. It is a Jeff Saturday-like leap. Jeff Saturday was 20-16 as a head coach in high school. He is coaching the Colts, and we saw what happened down
this
the stretch.
This is a Faustian leap.
It's Faustian. It kind of is. High school to college, Division
I.
It's a Division I program, Dustin. It's not an insignificant.
I saw that on Wikipedia.
Well, I can tell you without looking. UAB has to compete in recruiting. You have to put together a staff. You have to worry about NIL. You have to worry about a lot of things. You got to work the transfer portal like an NFL general manager. Trent Dilfer's a bright guy. I mean, I thought that before he joined the afternoon show, but he is a bright guy. It's a significant increase in responsibility, though, to go from a high school coach who's playing in the state championship, I think, tomorrow in Tennessee, to being the head coach of a Division I program. Am I overstating that?
Oh, not at all. I don't think you're overstating it.
So apples and oranges.
What? Now here we go. Here comes the bad
blood. The Colts? Bad blood.
And
this
UAB.
Is what it is. Here comes
Conference
the poisoned
USA
apple.
Football and the AFC South. I mean, what are we talking about here?
Wait a second.
Put some respect on a mid-major football there, pal.
I'll show it some respect if the over comes in on the MAC championship.
How many assistant coaches do you think that Jeff Saturday has?
How many does he have?
Yeah, how many does a typical NFL head coach have?
Probably 12 to 16.
Oh, more.
Okay.
Go up. Take the over. I'm just saying, you also have more resources at your disposal if you are an NFL head coach. You also have more people to lean on to get you through the Monday night embarrassment if you stumble on national television.
David, he's not the first or last guy to have bad timeout usage.
Okay.
I mean, that's not because he wasn't an assistant coach in the NFL. Any one of those guys that was in the room for the last 10 years breaking down tape for the Colts could have potentially made the same mistake.
We digress.
Mike McCarthy says you're crazy.
Get in line.
Yeah, exactly. It's a long one today. Look, UAB head coach is not a small job when you're talking about somebody who has never done that job before. It's an enormous responsibility. Dustin, you've got 85 young men in your locker room, 85 families you are responsible for suddenly when you take that job. And you've got the 25 you're going to welcome into your recruiting class next.
How many kids are on his high school team? Doesn't he have all of their responsibility in his hands as well?
Yeah, but you know what? When they leave practice, they go home to mom and dad. They go home to mom and dad, and they sit and they live in their houses and their homes, and it's probably a lot more predictable and a lot less of a responsibility as a high school head coach. Not that I'm not diminishing the role of high school head coaches. My God, I love Friday Night Lights, but college head coaching is different, Dustin. And to, I think, dismiss it as, well, it's only UAB, I think that is, it's just wrong.
I mean, if he was taken over for Pat Fitzgerald at Northwestern, I think we could have a conversation. But it's UAB.
Boy, you are.
I think that you have to treat UAB's job like Northwestern, like a Power 5 job, and that's the way you do it right. That's the way you do it best.
I think he'll probably approach it that way. I think Trent will be – I don't think Trent's doing this just for no reason.
You're right.
I mean, I think he's going to respect the job.
But I think he should come in and then chase off any kid he thinks he can get a scholarship off of in order to bring in better players.
I think maybe he should hire Danny and Matt and put them on the staff in some role. Maybe they could be the play-by-play and color analyst for UAB football.
Guy's trying to get rid of our teammates now. Bad blood there.
Shane going to?
Yeah, no, Shane would.
Shane, the offensive coordinator?
No, he's
Shane
the cook.
Would step in.
He's the team chef.
And Tanny's in charge of the pregame, middle of the game, and postgame entertainment.
Announcer. Oh, the videos, the board.
He's the video. He's the new video, Dustin. I don't know.
UAB's such a tiny program. Do they have a scoreboard?
Okay.
Do they play in a stadium?
Okay. Can we get back to the show? 312-644-6767. Jamal is in Orland Park. Hey, Jamal.
How you guys doing?
Good.
We veered into a very scary area, but go ahead.
Yeah, it happened.
We were talking about reptiles last hour. Well, at least we're talking about football now.
Let's get back to some reptile talk, damn it.
I was listening to the segment with Dan, and, you know, while I appreciate everything that was said, you know, I think there are two timelines, right? Bears fans, we haven't won anything since 1985. Okay. Right, and so you get a guy that comes in to restructure a whole roster, a teardown that I don't think we've ever really seen, and now we have a franchise quarterback. So while, yes, I agree, like, we want to see things happen, we want to see, you know, playoffs and championships and Super Bowls, that expectation should not be put on poles a year into a job, right? And so we do want to see progression, we do want to see him rebuild a roster, but I think there are two separate timelines, one that we've been on since 1985 as Bear fans, and then one we have to allow this guy some time to kind of restructure things, because if he wanted to go 9-7, he could have kept Mac, Hicks, all these guys, but that's not what he's trying to do. He's trying to build a roster for the long haul, so I think we need to allow him time to do that versus like the jaded Bears fan, you know, view of we haven't won anything in a long time.
Jamal, that's an interesting phone call, because I think it is different to consider. What are you trying to do? Are you trying to get back to the playoffs, or are you trying to win a Super Bowl? I do think those are very different objectives, and you might react differently based on what you're chasing. If you wanted to get to the playoffs, I think this was probably a year you could have justified making that run.
Right.
And you look at next year, had you worried about only getting back to the playoffs – you could have structured things in a way that would have made that happen. This definitely is tearing down and rebuilding and, I guess, making the Super Bowl the ultimate goal and staying true to that, because you need, in their minds, a quarterback before you're able to do that.
I just hate to be a season ticket holder. I'd hate to be told, and I think they've been wildly entertaining because of Justin Fields, but the idea that, hey, you know what, we've decided that this isn't going to work out. We'll just catch us down the road. We'll be winning. Don't worry about it. People base their life around that. And I think, you know, corporations spend a lot of money on skyboxes. I'm just saying.
Oh, I know. Molly, I agree with that. I would hate to be a season ticket holder as well, being told that, well, you know what, we think we can win a Super Bowl this way. So just hang on, because we're going to be bad for about, 3 years.
Stay with us. Trust the process.
3 more years.
Oh, yeah.
Because they've already been bad.
For the last few years.
For a very long time.
They've been having a lot of losing streaks every year. Well, and they're on one right now.
Character builders.
Jeff is in Joliet. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, guys. Good to check in with you.
Thank you.
On a Wednesday, talking about resources and the season. And what are we going to do? We got a lot of work to do. And the technicals. But the bottom line, I think, is the Super Bowl will come when the stadium comes. You know, I mean, Fields is great to watch, puts on a show, and I think it's going to be the running game versus the world until the stadium gets situated. And I think the players will flock in.
That's a long way away.
In about 5-10 years.
Is that all?
Poles, 3 to 5 years. Is going to be getting them ready to get in position for the stadium for the Super Bowl.
Okay, so you got polls less than 10 years? Is that what you're saying?
Oh, no, that's what it's going to take.
Oh. No, he gets 7 because that's what they do. They hire someone young. I don't know that the coach has that.
I don't think you get
him.
7 without a playoff victory anymore.
Yeah.
I don't think that's realistic. That's what Ryan Pace got.
Yeah.
They didn't win a playoff game, and he kept getting reprieves. I just don't see that as realistic. And if you want to say that the Bears aren't going to be Super Bowl worthy until they have a stadium that is Super Bowl worthy, that's not very ambitious. Is it?
Well, I mean, what you're saying is if they sell the franchise, they might get better faster because they'll spend more money. That's what you're saying. I don't know what else.
They're going to have money to spend in the offseason, and that's not what concerns me. I think they will spend it. It's how they spend it and the decisions they make. My biggest problem is that, and the caller reflects that, there's probably more external confidence in Ryan Poles' ability to acquire and draft the right players than I have right now. Doesn't mean I won't be confident and give him a chance to
I think we all hope that he can do that. I just think it's a very ambitious project, isn't it? I mean, as we talked about, like, you know, Ryan Pace came in here and then it was like, oh my God, look at the hole they have at wide receiver. Okay, he's got to address that hole. Man, look at how they've left themselves on the offensive line. Okay, well, we got to fix that hole. Every year something would pop up that you hadn't thought about, and that's when you were trying to win. It is just difficult to not to we haven't even seen the rebuild yet, and we don't know what the holes are. So how do you repair them? And the idea that, well, you're going to repair everything at once, that's unrealistic.
Yeah, and it goes back to the whole irony of you go into next year's draft, and the one question that you don't have to address is the one that you thought that, you know, you went into this season, that was the biggest one, and that's the quarterback. Other than quarterback,
yeah, exactly,
you're open for anything.
Well, that's it. The idea, again, in the old days, it was like, God, if they only had a quarterback. Now it's all they need is a football team. It's just weird.
But that's great.
It is.
That's great.
Everyone's delighted.
All right.
312-644-6767. We're going to talk to Chris Chelios next. Mully and Hall on the Score.
Chris Chelios.
Up the boards to Chelios with room. He shoots. Score!
BetMGM ambassador.
Nice play by Chris Chelios.
Hockey Hall of Famer.
Chris Chelios is not human. I'm convinced of it. Not only will he go in the Hall of Fame, I think he should go in the Smithsonian.
Blackhawks legend.
Chelios will add defense, but he'll also add offense to the Hawks.
Steve Smith to head to Murphy. Nichols at the line. Chelios moving in.
Three-time Stanley Cup champion.
What a competitor Chris Chelios has been over the years, and he's been a winner every place he's ever been.
Chris Chelios with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. It's always a delight to talk to Chris Chelios, and he joins us now on the Signature Bank Score Hotline. Signature Bank, making commercial banking personal. Hey, Chris, how are you?
I'm good. You guys, how are you?
We're having a blast. It's a great time of year. There's obviously a lot of NFL going on. We're looking at the winter sports, and lo and behold, there's a World Cup. Do you watch the World Cup? Did you see the U.S. yesterday?
Up early in State Street to watch that game. So, yeah, a lot of bars were capacity. Game, but yeah,
having a little trouble.
Obviously,
with
different time.
Hold on a second, Chris. We got to clean up that phone line.
There.
Yeah.
I think he said he was on State Street, and
is
it was
right?
Getting
that,
busy.
That Great Street.
That Great Street.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Well, it was a great time to gather yesterday. It just kind of like the lunch crowd,
right?
Kind of take the afternoon off.
Well, I mean, things are different on Saturday, because you're going to have to start early. And I was telling Dustin, back in the day, we used to start very early watching Premier League games. And, you know, by noon, you'd be well done. And that would be your weekend shot. We've got Chris back. Hey, Chris, sorry.
That's okay. Who knows whose fault it was. But anyway, yeah, that World Cup, you know, I couldn't wait to get over to Dublin's over there on State Street. It's a pretty familiar Irish pub. And what a crowd when they scored that goal, the chanting, you know, the U.S. chanting Olympics. But, yeah, tons of fun to watch this. And now they bought themselves another game here for Saturday, and I'm looking forward to that one too.
Shelly, Hawks are struggling, 7 straight losses. Now it looks like Luke Richardson is going to try what used to be the nuclear option, no longer is, but Kane and Tay's on the same line. What do you think of that? And is that just a desperate times call for desperate measures?
I wouldn't say desperate, but you got to mix things up. You know, they still play hard. They're, you know, play competitively. They, you know, they got off to such a good start that last game in the first period, at least I thought they did. And that disallowed goal, and all of a sudden things just, you know, went the other way. But yeah, putting those guys together, maybe give them a jump start. I mean, you've seen so many times and time again where one line can win a game for you. They got to score on their power play. You know, Taze and Kane are on the power play together. But that line of Domi, Anathisiou, and Kane's been, you know, pretty fun to watch. They've had some great goals, a lot of speed. But again, it's just that's a coach has to make some changes after a 7-game skid like that.
And the Hawks had a players-only meeting. I'm sure you've been involved in players-only meetings. Do they ever get heated? Do they ever? How do those things happen?
Well, they definitely get heated. Again, I don't think, you know, Taser's the captain of that team. He's been there and done it. But no one likes to be embarrassed, especially at home. And they just probably Taser felt it was time and some guys probably spoke out. I don't know. I'm not in that room and who the vocal guys are. They get such a young team. So I'm guessing, you know, it was controlled by Taser. But usually after a meeting like that with players only, they react to it. Unfortunately, got McDavid coming in town, which is going to be a tough task trying to shut him down. But, you know, look for them to be better for sure and much better effort. They didn't give Mrazek much help that game, you know, right back to outnumbered situations and, you know, unfortunate 2 penalties in a row on the 5-on-3. They got, you know, scored on against that one. But it'd be interesting, like I said, to see, you know, if Kaner and Tate can give them a little spark here early, get a lead. They got to get a lead. You know, it's tough to play catch-up.
Shelly, it's late puck drop tonight, 8:30. A lot of people will stay up, though, because McDavid is in town and they want to see him because he's the best player in hockey. Would you agree with that this season right now? Can he make that claim?
No question. And as far as like being such a dynamic, I guess I compare him quite honestly, you know, it would be the Savvy back in the day when he lit it up. And, you know, Gretzky was obviously the best, but Savvy was right there second behind him. But he was a different type of player. And there's nobody like McDavid that can put that speed, the skill, how he finishes. And, you know, last year, I think he took a step in the playoffs there when he did everything he could during the playoffs last year. They were always questioning him. Matthews is another guy not being able to do it in the playoffs, but McDavid proved to everybody that he is an elite player. And I think right now the best player in the world.
Okay. So we got the Packers favored by 4 against the Bears. Rodgers is in. We don't know yet about Justin Fields. What are your thoughts? Are you going to – who are you backing in this one?
God, I'm not going to back the Packers, but the Bears are so beat up. And, you know, I've been there at an age like Rodgers. He's, you know, the bruises and the bumps don't go away as quickly as they do. So if the Bears have any chance at all, someone should just take that 15-yard personal foul on Rodgers real early and try and KO him. But then you got Love as the backup, and he looked pretty good when he came in last game. But I can't bet the Bears this week. It's just, you know, everything's going against them, and Fields with him out, that kills them.
You're taking the rivalry back to the Ditka Forrest Gregg days.
I'm telling you, you want to win. So the only guy I've seen so far this year that doesn't care and would be the guy, wants to be the guy, is that Ndamukong Suh. He just doesn't care, and he'll go after any quarterback, you know. And that's what's missing in the game, I think, today. But anyway, what do I know? I'm just a goon defenseman. So,
Chris, you're the best.
Thanks,
thank you,
Jelly.
Buddy. That's hysterical.
All right, guys. Have a good day.
Oh, that is awesome.
That's hilarious.
I love it.
He's advocating, suggesting, encouraging somebody to go out and get a 15-yarder against Aaron Rodgers.
My man.
Yeah, that's right up. That's from the Dustin Rhodes playbook, I believe.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. Okay.
If you're going to get the flag, earn it.
Yeah.
Don't get it for breathing on him.
All right. Well, if you you're going to pull a man's face mask, make sure you rip it off. I like it, Dustin. Very nice. 312-644-6767. We've got Stacey Dales. She's going to join us next. We're going to talk about what's going on in the NFL and where the Bears are at right now and will they win again. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.